I was thinking about Father's Day. Many of you maybe have your father who is still with you. My father has been gone for about 3 years now, 4 years almost. And there's always just a little bit of sadness sometimes when you think of Father's Day and your father's not here anymore with you. But we can think about the good memories, and we can think of the heritage that our fathers have left us. And we can choose to follow in their footsteps and to make good choices for the next generation. The passage of scripture today that was read just a few minutes ago from 1 Kings chapter 2 are the last words of King David that he was sharing with his son Solomon, who would become the next king of Israel. We'll be looking a little bit at David's life today and reflecting on these last words. The words are before us: when the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon his son. "I am about to go the way of all the earth," he said. "So be strong, act like a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations, as written in the law of Moses." Next slide. "Do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to you. If your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all your heart and soul, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel." Most of us have heard about King David. He's very famous in the Bible. If you ask someone out on the street if they know about King David, they would probably talk about David and Goliath. But David was a king in Israel for 40 years. That's a long time in the Old Testament, because sometimes people were kings for only a few days or a few years. But David was the king of Israel for a whole generation. He has now reached the end of his life. He has had a lot of ups and downs in his life. It had not always been an easy life for David. David made a lot of mistakes in his life. He had to work hard as a young man, as a shepherd boy. We remember David as a shepherd boy out in the pasture lands, taking care of his father's sheep. That was not always an easy job to do. Sometimes he had to fight off the wild animals, and he had to fight with his own hands sometimes. In fact, David learned to be an outstanding warrior and fighter. Most of his lifetime, he was a fighter, a warrior. And that's what led him to be a very strong king to face the many enemies that Israel faced. Early on as a young man, you remember the story of David facing the giant Goliath. Most of us maybe learned that as a child. We remember the story of when he picked up the five little stones and he put one in his sling and he went like this and went and hit the giant right in the forehead, and he came crashing down. That's the children's version, at least. The version in the Bible is a little bit longer than that. But David faced the giants of his life, and he did a pretty good job. The Bible tells us the reason why is because David was a man after God's own heart. That means that David walked in faith and obedience to what God told him to do. After he killed Goliath, we find out that he became very famous. And people started to like David, and they began to make up sayings about him. how he killed his 10,000s. And Saul, he killed his thousands. And that led to jealousy by King Saul, who was the first king of Israel. Saul did not like the attention that David was getting. David often had to run away, hide in caves. But as David grew more and more strong in the Lord, put his trust in the Lord, and also became a better skilled fighter, people began to follow him. And soon he was leading his own army. Even though Israel had their own army, David had his own fighting men. And he became quite popular among the people. During those years for Israel, it was almost constant warfare. Eventually, in one of those battles, King Saul died. It was a very sad thing. David did not celebrate, in fact. You would think that David, who had been anointed king already, as a young man, he did not assume kingship yet. He waited for Saul to die. And we would think that when Saul actually was killed in battle, David would be celebrating. He would be saying, "Now it's my turn." That's not what we see in the Bible. In fact, David was very sad. I was just reading that story, and David actually executed the young man who came and said that, "I helped Saul die." And David said, "Why did you do that? He was God's anointed." And David said, "Take him out and kill him." That's not a very, you know, David had kind of his harsh side too. He wasn't always just this nice shepherd boy. He was a fighter. He was a very strong man. He had constant warfare. He won most of his battles, thankfully, because that made Israel stronger as a nation. But then David had his low points also. Kind of at the peak of his power as Israel's king. He was conquering all of the people around Israel, and they were becoming a very strong nation. And so David was starting to relax a little bit, kind of starting to take it easy. So one day he went up on his rooftop after he had taken a nap, and he saw over next door this lady taking a bath. And that led from one thing to the next, to the next. And so he committed adultery with this lady named Bathsheba. And then he arranged for Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, to go out on the front lines of the battle where he was sure to be killed. And that is what happened to Uriah. And then David married Bathsheba and had a child who eventually died after just a week. So this was the high point of his life and the low point of his life. David faced many challenges in his life from that point on. He struggled in his life, even though God forgave him. Psalm 51 talks about that, how he committed this sin. But he had a struggle from that point on. In fact, it got to the point where one of his sons, Absalom, said, "I want to be king." And he created a civil war. And David had to run for his life because Absalom was after him. Eventually, Absalom was killed also. And David took back his throne. But he was very sad inside from that point on because of the death of his son, Absalom. So the high points and the low points as a father and as a king. He knew his time was limited now, as we come to this passage in 2 Kings. It was not very long until he knew his death would come. And he wanted to make sure that his son Solomon, whom he had chosen to follow him, that he would make good decisions. I want to look at this passage and offer a few ideas for our fathers today. And it's not just simply for fathers. What we find in this passage is also for mothers, and it's for all of us, because we all have influence. We all must make decisions in our life. So the first point for us to think about is time is short. Time is short, so make it count. If you look at this passage real close, if you have a Bible, you can look at it or just listen along. David said, I am about to go the way of all the earth. That is basically saying, I'm about to die. My time is short. I do not have very long. When you come to the end of your life, or maybe those high points of your life, those times maybe when a loved one passes away, or a child is born, or perhaps you marry off your daughter, those key points in your life, we all have those points. And we look back and we sometimes think about the mistakes that we've made. We all make mistakes. David made many mistakes as a father. And sometimes he had to suffer severely for those mistakes. He saw the death of his children. He saw his kingdom crumble and split. He saw people die that he loved. And he had many problems because of his bad decisions. But don't live in the past. We cannot live in the past. We cannot let the past be a burden on our shoulders, because we cannot carry it into the future. We must ask for forgiveness. That's very difficult when you are a father, to ask for forgiveness from your family, from your children, from those people that you have wronged or caused pain or sorrow. This will require humility. Humility is acknowledging or realizing that we have done something wrong, that we have made a wrong decision. It's very difficult sometimes for us men to be humble and to say, I am wrong. We want to be strong. We want people to say, oh, we make no mistakes. We want people to honor us. And it's very difficult for us to get down on our hands and knees and to say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Don't go to the grave with regrets. It will put a heavy burden on your children. If you do not ask them for forgiveness, if you do not make it right now in your life, and you carry that burden until you die, you pass that burden on to your children, and they will carry that burden. It may be their entire life that they carry that burden. In fact, they will pass that burden on to the next generation. The Bible talks about how sin is passed on to the third and fourth generation. That is how much power you have. If you do not make it right in your life now, your sins will be passed on for 3 to 4 generations down. That's how significant this is. Right the wrongs now before it is too late. David wrote a psalm, Psalm 131. It's very short, just a couple of verses. I wonder when David wrote this in his life. We have no indication when David wrote this psalm. I wonder if it was after one of those times when he made a mistake in his life, just like we all make. It's a little prayer. David said this, Lord, I have given up my pride and turned away from my arrogance. I am not concerned with great matters or with subjects too difficult for me. Instead, I am content and at peace. As a child lies quietly in its mother's arms, so my heart is quiet within me. Israel, trust in the Lord now and forever. This translation says, I have given up my pride. Our pride is one of the biggest problems we have as fathers sometimes. We do not like to say that we are wrong. We must set aside our pride and say that I am sorry. Please forgive me. Invest in future generations by investing in the present right now. Just as the Bible says that our sins are passed on to the third and fourth generation, our right decisions, our righteousness, our holiness can also be passed on to the third and fourth generation. The decisions we make now in our life will affect not simply our children, but our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. We're talking 100 years from now. They will still be talking about us because of the decisions that we chose to make right now in our life. Make a commitment that will last generations. God told David that the decisions he makes now would actually last for eternity. There's a passage where God talks about this. David talks about it in this passage. But God gave David a promise. If you turn back to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. This is the promise that God made to David. I think maybe I have this passage up here. No, not yet, I guess. I guess we'll just have to look it up. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 12 to 16. This is what God was saying to David. He says, "When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors," that's just another way of saying that when you die, "I will raise up your offspring to succeed you and your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Do you know who he's talking about there? He's talking about Jesus. Jesus was the son of David. This is a prophecy. "And I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with a rod wielded by men, with floggings and inflicted by human hands. But my love will never be taken from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." God was making a promise, a messianic promise to David, that was saying that David's throne would last forever, eternity. Why? Because from David would someday come the Messiah, who would bless all of humanity forever. But let's go back to the passage that we've been reading in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 4. "If you obey him," now David is talking to Solomon, and there's an if word. That is a condition. If you do this, then this is true. "If you obey him," that is the Lord will keep the promise he made when he told me that my descendants would rule Israel as long as they were careful to obey God's commands. So let's kind of back up here. Well, God made a promise about the Messiah, but in between David and the Messiah, there's a lot of time there. David lived about almost 1,000 years before Jesus. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of generations. In fact, you can turn to the book of Matthew, and it gives you all the names between David and Jesus. There's a lot of people in there. I think 40 or 30 or something like that. But David is telling Solomon, if you obey, you will get to participate in this. But if you or any of the people who come after do not obey, you will miss out in God's promises. And we find out that actually most of the kings of Israel, they were bad guys. Most of the people who followed David, did not listen to God. And eventually, God sent Israel into exile because they did not follow David's guidelines here. Second point, be strong. Yeah, keep going. Be strong like a man. Now, us men, you know, we're pretty strong guys. I don't know, any of you lift weights or do other things to kind of make yourself kind of strong? We're strong in several different ways. God has gifted us with certain strengths. They may be present in women, but I think God has given men special kinds of gifts of strength. In the book of Joshua, let's turn back in the book of Joshua, chapter 1. These are famous words. God directs Joshua. In verse 6, Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, God tells Joshua, be determined and confident. I think the King James Version, be strong and courageous. For you will be the leader of these people as they occupy this land, which I promised to their ancestors. Just be determined. Be confident, be strong and courageous, and make sure that you obey the whole law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not neglect any part of it, and you will succeed wherever you go. Be sure that the book of the law is always read in your worship. Study it day and night, and make sure that you obey everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Remember that I have commanded you to be strong and courageous. Those words are for us as fathers. Be strong and courageous. God has given us men strength in, I'm thinking, two special ways. One is just physical. Now, there are some very strong women in the world, and I would not like to arm wrestle them. But most of the time, men are strong. Physically. God has given us a strength physically. And God has also given us strength emotionally. He has given us leadership abilities. And He expects us to use that strength to guide our families, our culture, our businesses, our activities, wherever we go. We can be examples of physical and emotional strength. Now, there is a weakness, though, part of this. Because we are strong, we are also stubborn. Do you know that word, stubborn? That means we don't listen very well. In fact, we have tunnel vision sometimes. We focus on one thing. That's a good thing because we can focus and get it done. But sometimes that means we don't listen very well. We don't see what's going on around us. We close our life and our everything else because we're focusing on one thing. And our families know that, don't they? Our wives are shaking our heads, their heads. They say, yes, we know that. We see that a lot. They get focused. In my family, I get focused on the computer or something, and I'm not listening anymore. We get focused. Now, that can be a good thing, but it can also be a weakness. There is also another weakness. Because we are strong, we rely on our own strength and we forget to ask God for help. The outcomes of trusting our own strength are these things. This is what happens when we trust our own strength. One is that we fail. Failure. When we try to do things on our own, we are not always very successful, are we? Because although we're strong, we're also weak. A second thing is that we run out of energy. We try to do things on our own, and eventually we find out that we cannot finish the job. We just cannot do everything in life. There's just too much to do. There's too much stress. There's too many uncertainties. The job is too big. We do not have enough time or money or energy to do everything that we need to do or hope to do. Number three, we make poor choices when we rely on our own strength. and our own thinking. Number four is we become open to temptation. Just like David did with Bathsheba, David was relying on his own thinking, his own emotions, his own desires. And what happened? He fell into temptation. When we try to do things on our own power, our own strength, and we don't listen to God anymore, we're going to fall into temptation. And number five, we will experience emotional and spiritual defeat. If we try to do things on our own strength and our own power, we will fail. David told Solomon, be strong like a man. Well, what kind of man is he talking about? A man after God's own heart. We can find our true strength in the Lord. Psalm 118, verse 14. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. The Lord is my strength, not me. I wish we had time to talk about Solomon. David gave these instructions to Solomon. How did Solomon do? Well, for a while he did very well. He relied on God. And Solomon became very wise, very powerful. In fact, he became king over the whole area, the whole Middle East. He became the wealthiest person in the entire world. But then he began to compromise. He did not follow his father's instructions. And eventually, the wisest man also became the most foolish man at the end of his life. Paul the Apostle wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I probably have the wrong reference. That should be 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. He says, the Lord God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, this is Paul writing now, he says, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, I am strong. In our weakness, we can turn to God, who gives us His grace to help us to be strong like a man. What kind of man can we be in our strength? We can be a man of God. We can be a man who follows after God's own heart, like King David did most of the time. And number three, David tells Solomon to observe what the Lord requires. Walk in obedience. Follow God's commands and His instructions. David told Solomon to keep his decrees and commands and laws and regulations. The Lord God has given us His word. If we do not study His word, how do we know how to live in this world? The psalmist wrote in Psalm 119 that God's word has become a light unto our path. It will guide us. It will lead us into how to be good fathers, how to be good mothers, good ates and kuyas, lolas. We can learn it from God's word. God's laws are not burdensome. They are not a heavy load for us to carry. They are the light to our path. And David told Solomon, study God's word. Solomon did that. He wrote quite a bit. We have that in the book of Proverbs and some other books in the Bible. He did a pretty good job most of his life until he forgot at the end. Hide God's word in your heart so that you will not sin against Him. And then number four, David told Solomon that he would experience God's promises if he obeyed. If we obey God's commands, we will experience His promises. There's a condition. Look at the verse real closely. David said, if they watch. If your descendants watch how they live. And then if they walk. If they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul. This is all about direction, isn't it? Yeah. We're going to walk some way. What is it that will lead us in the way we walk? I like to watch people walk down the road sometimes. And sometimes I've seen people who are on their cell phone, you know, they like trip over something, or they fall into a hole, or they run into a post. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Have you ever done that? I hope not. But look where you're going and God will direct you. Men sometimes are criticized for being compartmental, being too focused in their thinking. We think of one thing and we get directed and we get focused on one thing and we can't think of anything else. My excuse is that I'm a driven person. I have a goal and I'm going to reach that goal no matter what. But the problem is, I do not see the people around me. And so as we walk, we must bring other people with us and see the people around us. What promises has God made to you as a father? Do you believe God has given you a promise? It may not be a promise like to be a king or something like Solomon had. No, you know, most of us will never be kings like that. But God gives us promises about our families. He gives us promises about our own lives. And we can experience those promises if we have faith and listen to God. If these words were spoken to you today as a father, how could you live by them? How can these words apply in your life? Let's go back and look at the main points again. Time is short. Make it count. Number two, be strong like a man. Number three, observe what God requires. And number four, experience God's promises for obedience. We can be empowered to live these out right now. We have two reasons why. Number one is that we can walk in obedience because we have submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It begins by putting Jesus on the throne of our life. We like to be on the throne, don't we, as men? We're the master of our house, right? What we say is the law, right? It's what the Lord says. And He is the master of our house. Amen. He is the king of our life. Amen. He is the Lord supreme. Amen. And so how can we do any of this as fathers? It's when He is Lord. He must be the one who is number one in our life. And we listen to Him. And second, we cannot walk in obedience without the filling of the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad that Father's Day comes a week after Pentecost. Because we just thought last week about the filling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to come to each one of us. It doesn't matter if you're a father or not, but to each one of us. Because these four principles, they apply to women as well. They apply to young people. They apply to children. If we walk in the way of the Lord, I'd like to look at Psalm 51 in closing. These are words that David wrote after he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And the prophet Nathan came to him and he said, David, you have sinned. David was trying to hide. This was a secret sin that no one else knew about. But God knew. And God sent this prophet Nathan to David. And David realized and confessed his sin. And then he wrote this. I'll just read the translation I have here. David said, "Be merciful to me, O God, because of your constant love, because of your great mercy. Wipe away my sins. Take them away." David is humbling himself before God. "Wash away all my evil and make me clean from my sin." This is a good prayer for fathers today, isn't it? "I recognize my faults. I am always conscious of my sins. I have sinned against you, only against you, and done what you have considered evil. So you are right in judging me. You are justified in condemning me. I have been evil from the day I was born. From the time I was conceived, I have been sinful. Sincerity and truth are what you require. Fill my mind with wisdom. Remove my sin, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear the sounds of joy and gladness. And though you have crushed me and broken me, I will be happy once again. Close your eyes to my sins and wipe away all my evil. Create a pure heart in me, O God, and put a new song and loyal spirit in me. Do not banish me from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. Give me joy again, the joy that comes from your salvation, and make me willing to obey you." And then he continues there. "Create in me a clean heart." That's what we need to be fathers who are faithful to the Lord. We need God to cleanse our heart and to fill us with His Holy Spirit so that we can be the fathers that our families need. And what happens if today we know we're not a very good father? Maybe we know we failed a lot. God offers us forgiveness, doesn't He? He offers us a second chance. And then as we have come to God, we can go and ask in humility for our families to give us a second chance. And then to walk in honor of the Lord.